From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello VOI listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voinews.id. This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visits United States for bilateral talk with President Joe Biden and Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation or APEC Summit. Indonesia conveys full support for Palestine to Sweden. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated the Extraordinary Islamic Summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation or OIC in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia was important as an additional effort to stop Israel's attack on Palestine. At the summit, leaders of OIC countries discussed the current situation in the Gaza Strip, which has been the center of conflict between Israel and the Palestinian freedom fighter group Hamas since October 7, 2023. After attending the summit in Riyadh, President Joko Widodo headed to the United States to have a bilateral meeting with U.S. President Joe Biden at the White House. According to the Indonesian president, the bilateral meeting was a good opportunity to echo Indonesia's firm position regarding Gaza. From Washington, D.C., President Joko Widodo and his entourage will attend the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation or APEC Summit in San Francisco. Indonesian Ambassador to Sweden Kama Pradipta Isnomo emphasized Indonesia's full support for Palestine during a meeting with Swedish Foreign Affairs Minister Tobias Billström in Stockholm. Indonesia also emphasized its condemnation of Israeli violence against civilians and civil facilities in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Isnomo noted in a written statement issued by the Indonesian Embassy in Stockholm and received by Antara State News Agency on Saturday, suspension of long-term development cooperation assistance for Palestine could set a bad precedent and be part of collective punishment against Palestine. Recently, ambassadors of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation member states, including Indonesia, met with Swedish Foreign Affairs Minister Tobias Billström in Stockholm to convey full support for Palestine and condemnation against Israel. The last national news comes from Indonesian electricity company PT PLN Persero that has expressed its readiness to meet the need for public electric vehicle charging stations in the new capital or IKN Nusantara to realize a green and eco-friendly city. As of September 2023, PLN has set up 2 charging stations in the new capital area in East Kalimantan. PLN President Director Darmawan Prasojo said in a statement received from PLN on Saturday in the near future, PLN plans to add 5 ultra-fast charging mobile stations in the government area in Nusantara. Now we move to the international news. Arab and Muslim leaders on Saturday condemned Israeli forces' barbaric actions in Gaza, but declined to approve punitive economic and political steps against the country over its war against Hamas. The outcome of a joint summit in the Saudi capital of the Arab League and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation highlighted regional divisions over how to respond to the war, even as fierce mount that it could draw in other countries. The summit took place against a backdrop of widespread anger in the Middle East and beyond over Israel's aerial and ground offensive in Gaza. Next, we have the Philippines Coast Guard that said on Saturday it would maintain its regular supply missions to troops stationed on a disputed atoll in the South China Sea, even though it expects more Chinese vessels to be sent to the area. The Philippines regularly sends supplies to a handful of troops living aboard an aging warship that was deliberately run aground on the Second Thomas Shoal in 1999 to assert Manila's sovereignty claims over the atoll. The Presidential Communications Office on Saturday released revised rules for the Philippines' first sovereign wealth fund, with changes to include granting powers to the president to accept or reject an advisory board's nominations for top officials. Last month, President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. suspended implementation of Maharlika Investment Fund to ensure transparency and accountability in the fund's management. Rosalia de Leon, the country's Central Bank Monetary Board member and former treasurer who was part of the review group, was quoted in the statement as saying Marcos sought the changes to ensure the fund is insulated from political influence and would like to give the leeway to set the qualification. We end the news with about 300,000 people who marched through the British capital on Saturday as pro-Palestinian supporters made a new call for a Gaza war ceasefire. Authorities had feared trouble as the National March for Palestine was scheduled for Armistice Day, Britain's annual commemoration of its war dead. Dozens of arrests were reported. The march set off after a 2-minute silence was observed at the Cenotaph War Memorial in central London at 11 a.m. GMT. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Spotlight of the Week highlights Honorary Counsel imposed sanctions for dismissal of the Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court. The Honorary Counsel of the Indonesian Constitutional Court, or MK-MK, imposed a sanction of dismissal from the position of Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court on Anwar Usman, because he was proven to have committed serious violations of the Code of Ethics and behavior of constitutional judges. This decision was read out by MK-MK Chairman Jim Lee Ashidiki in his ruling on Tuesday. Jim Lee said Anwar Usman was proven to have violated and the seven principles, namely the principles of impartiality, integrity, proficiency and equality, independence, appropriateness, and decency. This is related to the Constitutional Court's decision to grant a request for a minimum age limit for presidential and vice presidential candidates. The decision of the MK, which was then led by Anwar Usman, received protests in the form of reports from many parties because Anwar Usman was considered to have a biased relationship with Gibran Raka Buming Raka, who was running as one of the vice presidential candidates in the 2024 general elections. Apart from that, Jim Lee emphasized that Anwar Usman has no right to nominate or be nominated as leader of the Constitutional Court until his term of office as a constitutional judge ends. Furthermore, Anwar is also not allowed to be involved or involve himself in the examination of the upcoming general election results dispute case. MK-MK also imposed a collective verbal warning sanction on 6 constitutional judges because they were proven to have collectively violated the Code of Ethics and behavior of constitutional judges. Meanwhile, Anwar Usman, in a press statement at the Constitutional Court building on Wednesday, said he felt he had been maliciously slandered regarding the handling of the case. Regarding the minimum age requirements for presidential and vice presidential candidates, according to him, he would not sacrifice himself, his dignity and honor at the end of his service as a judge in order to pass a certain pair of candidates. On the other hand, Anwar realized that the age limit issue for presidential and vice presidential candidates had a very strong political content. However, as a constitutional judge, he claimed that he still complies with the principles and provisions of the applicable law. The position of Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court is currently temporarily led by Suhartoyo. The new Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court was elected through a closed plenary meeting of judges with a consensus agenda on Thursday, November 9. That was this week's Spotlight from Voice of Indonesia.
I'll start today in history with November the 12th, 1964, National Health Day celebrated for the first time. Indonesian National Health Day is celebrated every November the 12th. This day was created to increase public awareness to continue maintaining health. National Health Day was first celebrated on November the 12th, 1964, to remember the success in eradicating malaria. The background to the emergence of this day began in the 1950s, when many Indonesian people suffered from malaria. Hundreds of thousands of people died from this disease. The government then worked hard to eradicate malaria. This date was later commemorated as the first National Health Day on November the 12th, 1964. This is considered to be the starting point for the unity of all components of the nation in health development in Indonesia. Turning to November the 12th, 1999, the earthquake in Duasce, Turkey. On November the 12th, 1999, in Duasce, Turkey, an earthquake occurred at 6:57 local time with a magnitude of 7.2. This earthquake caused damage and at least 845 deaths. The epicenter was approximately 100 kilometers to the east of 1999 Izmit earthquake that also caused major damage. The second earthquake occurred in northern Anatolia. I'll end today in history with November the 12th, 2010. The Asian Games began. The 2010 Asian Games, also known as the 16th Asian Games, were a multi-sport event held in Guangzhou, People's Republic of China, from November the 12th to 27th, 2010. Guangzhou was the second China city to host a large sport event after Beijing Olympics in 1990. A total of 9,704 athletes from 45 National Olympic Committees competed in 476 events across 42 sports and disciplines. The final medal tally was led by China with 199 gold medals, followed by South Korea in second place and Japan in third place. The opening and closing ceremonies were held along the Pearl River on Hanxinxia Island and was the first time in history that the opening ceremony of a major sporting event was not held inside a stadium. That was today in history.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Peter Muller in Duisburg, Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German language on August 13, 2023 via www.voinews.id. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your letter. I hope you are in health condition, so you can monitor our broadcast every day. Mr. Muller, your letter has been forwarded to the German section. Please be patient and wait for the reply. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Biarkan semua.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on the Indonesian Olympic Committee strengthens synergy with France against the 2024 Paris Olympics. The Indonesian Olympic Committee will strengthen synergy and international sports diplomacy with France following preparations for the 2024 Paris Olympics. As a form of this synergy, the committee chairman Raja Sabta Oktohari held a meeting with the French ambassador to Indonesia, Fabien Laurent Robert Panon, on Monday. During the meeting, apart from discussing plans for synergy and sports diplomacy, the chairman of the Indonesian Olympic Committee and the French ambassador also discussed sports development and preparation for Paris to host the most prestigious quadrennial sporting event in the world. At the meeting, the chairman of the committee, Raja Okto Sabtohari, was accompanied by other executives of the committee and representatives of Indonesian sports. Meanwhile, the French ambassador to Indonesia appreciated the committee's presence and assessed that France and Indonesia have strong diplomatic relations which have the potential to be developed in the future. He also said that in sports discussions, both parties knew each other's priorities and what to focus on for Indonesian sport. Furthermore, of course, each party can see opportunities for further cooperation, and sport is an important thing, for, according to the ambassador, France is willing to be involved in the development of preparations for inter-sport federations. Paris 2024 will be the 33rd edition of the Olympics since the modern Olympics were introduced in 1896. This is the third time for France to host the Olympics after 1900 and 1924. The Indonesian team itself has so far secured 4 tickets to the Paris Olympics, namely in archery 2 tickets, gymnastics 1, and rock climbing 1. Furthermore, the Indonesian squad still has the opportunity to add representatives who qualify because the qualifications for the sports competed in the Olympics will still take place until the middle of next year. That was My Indonesia today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we will reply to a letter from Ashik Iqbal in Bangladesh. Hello sir, thank you for your letter. I will send our QSL card as soon as possible. So keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your reception report. Well, Mr. Ashik Iqbal, here is a special song for you. Enjoy.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you for still joining the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is on Kedung Cowek Fort, Surabaya, East Java. Surabaya has many historical stories and tourist attractions related to the people's resistance to expelling invaders during the Independence War around 1945. One of which is Kedung Cowek Fort, which is located on Kedung Cowek Street, Surabaya. The original name of the fort, which is located on an area of 71,876 square meters, is Kes Baterai Kedung Cowek, but it is better known as Fort Kedung Cowek. This fort was built during the Dutch colonial period around 1915 as a place for Dutch defense in the coastal area and the Madura Strait. After going through an observation process for around 5 years, on May 6, 2020, Fort Cowek, which was also a silent witness to the Battle of Surabaya on November 10, 1945, was designated as a cultural heritage building. This historic building from the Dutch East Indies era is located not far from the current Suramadu Bridge toll gate. It was once a place of defense for the Dutch as well as a storage place for bullets and large cannons. Therefore, local people call it Gudang Peluru or Bullet Warehouse. In the Battle of November 10, 1945, the fort was used as a defense base for the Indonesian People's Security Army. In the Kedung Cowek Fort, which is about 600 meters long and an average width of about 10 meters, barracks and a kitchen-like building were also found. Apart from its historical value, Kedung Cowek Fort also offers an exotic view of the Suramadu Bridge. If the weather is clear, tourists can also enjoy the sunset in the afternoon. The authentic fort building is very suitable as a vintage-themed photo spot. Moreover, the plants and flowers that grow abundantly around the Kedung Cowek Fort add to the natural impression. If you visit Kedung Cowek Fort, you will also be treated to beautiful views of the Madura Strait and Nambangan Beach. When you enter the Kedung Cowek Fort area, you will feel a forest-like atmosphere because there are many trees around it. The combination of historical buildings and beautiful natural scenery is really interesting to visit. To this day, the 108-year-old Kedung Cowek Fort is still standing strong, although some parts are starting to become damaged and there are many white plants covering several areas of this fort. Therefore, as a form of gratitude to the fighters who died while defending independence by fighting here, the existence of Kedung Cowek Fort must be maintained. The fort, which was originally used as a defense base, has now changed its function to become a unique historical tourist location. That was Indonesian Wonder today.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I will read a postcard from Stefan Lipsius in Kosovo. Hello sir, thank you for your postcard. Your postcard has been forwarded to the German section. Please wait for the reply. Well, listener, wherever you are, before I sign out Listener's Mailbag program, I will play a song that could brighten up your day. So let's check this one out.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOI listener, coming up next, we have two programs in a row called Miscellany and Music Corner. Enjoy.
Miscellany Today is featuring Jakarta World Cinema Week 2023. Jakarta World Cinema Week will be held again from November the 11th until 19th in Jakarta. The International Film Festival will present 90 films from 54 countries. These films can be watched directly in cinemas and online on the Click Film streaming platform. Jakarta World Cinema Week 2023 will be opened by the film Insha'Allah, A Boy from Jordan, written and directed by Amjad Al-Rashid, and closed by the film Shaida from Australia, directed by Nura Niasari. Jakarta World Cinema Week Executive Director Frederica revealed that in this second year, Jakarta World Cinema Week is really paying attention to the credibility of the films that will be shown. Most of the films presented are included in prestigious world festivals. In addition, several films that have won awards at international film festivals will also be screened, such as Monster from Japan by Hirokazu Koreeda, winner of the Palme d'Or at the 2022 Cannes Film Festival, and Anatomy of a Fall, France by Justin Trier, winner of the Grand Prix at the 2023 Cannes Film Festival. Jakarta World Cinema Week Steering Committee Karim Nugroho stated, amidst the diversity of film festival events in Indonesia, Jakarta World Cinema Week is able to present an international film festival. He said, the interesting thing about Jakarta World Cinema Week 2023 is the diversity of film types and genres, as well as artistic and industrial achievements. That was Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh, you go out of your way to prove that you're okay. Another the same, things ain't gonna change. Rather than to rearrange, you just try. And the world comes now.
Indonesia.
Hello, VOI listener. In today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a song by Naura Ayu. The singer, whose full name is Adila Rafa Naura Ayu, released her latest single at the end of last October. The song is entitled Pemilik Rindu, which in English means more or less the owner of longing. The song features elegant and sweet music with a touch of fun Disney vibes. Plus, the lyrics can make you feel connected because the feeling of longing can be experienced by anybody. Whether it's longing for someone who has gone, who has never been met, or who is far from sight, this song will remind listeners of that feeling. In fact, the song Pemilik Rindu has been stored in Naura Ayu Song Bank since 2021. It was written by Ify Alisa, who is also the vocal director. Well, listener, here is the Indonesian young, bright female singer Naura Ayu with the song Pemilik Rindu.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
atap langit yang kan menjelang, sinarnya yang tak akan pernah hilang. Setelah lewati penantian panjang yang tak berujung dan terus meredam, kini tiba waktu yang dinanti. Sudah lama saling pahami hati, satu keyakinan memasti, kau yang selama ini ku cari. Kini tiba waktunya, kau dan aku sekarang jadi kita. Janji yang pernah ada telah terbukti dan jadi nyata. Terima kasih, oh Tuhan, kini kami telah kau persatukan. Dan takkan pernah ku siakan anugerah terindah yang kau berikan. Kini tiba waktu yang dinanti, sudah lama saling pahami hati, satu keyakinan memasti, kau yang selama ini ku cari. Ini tiba waktunya, kau dan aku sekarang jadi kita. Janji yang pernah ada telah terbukti dan jadi nyata. Terima kasih, oh Tuhan, kini kami telah kau persatukan. Dan takkan pernah ku siakan anugerah terindah yang kau berikan. Bersamamu aku merasa sempurna, kau dan aku menjadi kita. Kini tiba waktunya, kau dan aku sekarang jadi kita. Janji yang pernah ada telah terbukti dan jadi. Terima kasih, oh Tuhan, kini kami telah kau persatukan. Dan takkan pernah ku siakan anugerah terindah yang kau berikan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you so much for listening to our English program from Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz and also voinews.id and RRI Digital mobile app. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram at voi_official. Send your email to voi@voinews.id or simply chat us on WhatsApp +62 821 2381 2130. +62 821 2381 2130. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.